Certainly the praise is to Allah alone. We seek His guidance and we seek refuge in Him from the evil of our sins. Whomever Allah guides, none can misguide, and whomever Allah misguides, none can guide. I bear witness in open testimony that there is only one true God worthy of worship, and He has no partners. And I bear witness in open testimony that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is His last and final messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to us a Quran, a reading. He has also revealed a religion. It is the same religion which came with all of the prophets, the Anbiya, since the beginning of time. In essence, we as Muslims understand it rather well. We can boil it down to two words, obey God. And we feel pretty safe with that. Sometimes we'll hear a brother say things like, Allah is God, and this is his shahada, or bearing witness of the truth of Islam. But in fact, is that enough to say Allah is God, or obey God? Or I saw a bumper sticker, in fact I saw it on my own wife's car, so I see it a lot. Okay, worship the Creator, not His creations. And certainly these are good things to say as a Muslim, but is it sufficient? One of the most important things of all, when we get to the doors of the paradise, is to have the key, the muftah, to enter. And the scholars of Islam have talked about this subject to quite an extent, using the Quran and using the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to obtain a better understanding of what is the shahadatain, or what is the kalima tayyiba of la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. The kalima tayyiba la ilaha illallah is sufficient for a person to enter paradise, according to a clear hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When asked about this, one of the scholars of Islam said, well, you have to understand this is not the only thing we're going to take in Islam is one hadith. We have to know the hadith by the ayahs of Quran. And we have to understand the Quran by the hadith. So let's look at all that we have and then try to derive a better understanding of this hadith. Certainly we would agree that if everybody knew this, simply they could just say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, and go back to worshiping Jesus or a stick or a stone, and they would say, but I'm covered. This basically would be not much different than some of the Baptists that I heard down in my home state of Texas. They used to say, once saved, always saved. So just say this and you're good forever. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us very clearly in the Quran, do not die except in a state of Islam. Do not die except as Muslims. What did he mean by that? It means very clearly that a person could profess to be a Muslim for a period of time, but yet what is written for them could overtake them and they could die as a kafir. May Allah save us from that. So let's investigate and see what the evidences are from Quran and Sunnah, the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, and the verses of the Holy Book of Allah. Careful study of both Quran and hadith bring about an understanding of what you might call ridges on the key. Because if you have a key, every key is different, and not every key will open the door. Only the certain key, which is correct. So you may have a saying, a kalima, but its ridges won't get the door open. The first, and in particular, there are a number of scholars who comment on this. Some say there are six, some say seven, some say eight or nine different conditions. All of them agree to the same topics, but they categorize them different so that some are lumped together. But basically, you could look at it from this standpoint. First of all, is the knowledge or ilm. Because you'd have to know what you're saying, wouldn't you? Otherwise, you could just repeat it and say, I don't know what I said, but hey, if that gets me into Jannah, paradise, I'm okay. But yet, Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Muhammad, 47:19, فَلَمْ إِنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَسْتَغْفِرْ إِذَّا نُبِكَ. And the meaning is, so know that there is no God except Allah, and ask forgiveness for your sins. If he says you have to know, it means you have to have the knowledge of it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever dies knowing there is no worship except Allah shall enter paradise. And again Allah says, illa man shahida bilhaq wa hum ya'lamun. This is in Surah Az-Zukhruf 43:86. And it says here, except those who bear witness to the haq knowingly. Ya'lamun. Knowingly. So he has to know who is Allah. It wouldn't be acceptable for him to say, La ilaha illallah. But he meant something other than Allah. So he has to know who's Allah. I used to give the example in visiting some of the prisons units that I went to down in Texas. Could you imagine if you were driving along in your car and somebody needed a ride, so you stopped and picked them up. And as you were traveling, you start talking to them about religion, as Muslims are given to do. And you told him, I believe there's only one God. He said, well, I believe that. He said, oh. Well, I believe that my God created everything. He said, I believe that. He said, okay. And I don't believe Jesus is God neither. No, he said, I don't believe that. And I believe my God's the one who takes care of me every day. He said, I believe that too. Well, I believe I ought to pray to him and to him alone. He said, me too. He said, oh, okay, well, we're moving along. Let me take this guy next month that we come to, give him a shot, and we'll go to work. All of a sudden, he said, stop the car. He said, stop the car. Jumps out of the car, run out in the middle of a field in a huge pine tree, and he makes a big sajda, prostration, falls down on his head right in front of the pine tree. And you go, huh? And then he come back over to the car. He said, let's go. He said, what'd you just do? He said, I made such to. He said, but we just agreed there ain't no God worthy of worship except Allah. He said, yeah, that was Allah. Oh, clarification. Not the right ridges on the muftah. This is not the correct way to use the key to get in. Will Allah accept that? Really and truly, ask yourself. Even if that man said, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad or Rasulullah, would it work? Let's look further. What about secularism? There are a lot of Muslims today. They pray five times a day. They worship Allah. They go to the masjid. Yet they don't see anything wrong with the lawgiver other than Allah. Who is the one that made everything in the first place? Who made that thunder then? It wasn't Bill Clinton. I don't think so. So anybody who makes a law which would contradict a law which has been ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a Muslim wouldn't follow that, would he? Wouldn't make sense. Right away people say, well, what about a traffic law? Now, Allah didn't tell us about that. Well, in that case, you can stop the car, can't you? And you can get insurance if you need it, can't you? Because that's not what Allah told you about. In those areas, of course, I'd prefer you ask a scholar regarding those issues, because I don't get into that. But just I need to know, just like you do, what's the minimum, at least to understand this kalima of La ilaha illallah. We have to do our best, you know, for the basics. There are five pillars in Islam, and the Shahada is the first one. Because when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Mu'adh bin Jabal to go out and be the governor, I think that was when he asked him to go out and carry the message of Islam to Yemen. And when he did, he asked him to start out with just La ilaha illallah. And if they accept that, then tell them about the salah. And if they accept that, then tell them about the zakah. But you go step by step. You don't hit them all at once. And it should be the same for us. How would it be? We gave alhamdulillah shahada to a gentleman yesterday. And by the way, I like that very much. But how would it be if we told him right away, now look here, your pants are the wrong length and you have to use a toothstick and you have to throw away your toothbrush and, oh, you have a gold tooth? Okay, give me a pair of pliers, I'm going to fix this brother right now. And, oh, he hasn't been circumcised, I've got a knife over here. And, you know, this guy's going to be running down the street going, them people are crazy. Is it right or wrong? Yeah. It's not how Islam comes. Islam comes to change the heart. Not your physical condition. It goes step by step. These things are addressed down the road. We don't ignore them. We're not going to put them aside. But let's look at the first issue first. Is that right? Some people will tell you, you know, by the way, there's an incident which took place where a Sahabi, a companion of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a ghazwa, in a battle, he killed a man who just said, La ilaha illallah, and he killed him anyway. So when the story reached the Prophet ﷺ, he just told him, what you going to do with La ilaha illallah? What you going to do with La ilaha illallah? Because the man had said it. He said, yeah, but he was munafiq. He was a hypocrite. He was just saying it so it wouldn't kill him. He just kept saying, what you going to do with La ilaha illallah? So we have to respect it. But the Prophet ﷺ also said something else. Whenever somebody say La ilaha illallah, then his person, his life, and his property is safe from your hand. Is that true? Yes. But did it also say, let him go up and give a khutbah? No. No. You heard him say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Now check it out. Consider the source. What has he got to go along with that? If he has the extra Quran that he wants to preach out of. Huh? Or if he has the extra prophet he'd like to mention. Came along in the last few years. That's not going to work. Is it? No. So that's why we have to qualify what the person says. We don't throw him away because he said the magic words. La ilaha illallah. But don't be a fool. If you're in a battle, think about it. You're in a battle, you're fighting with a sword or a gun or something, and you get the advantage over the other one, and he said, La ilaha illallah. You give him back the sword? No. You say, okay, come on, take it easy. Let's go back and see where you're at. But you don't hand him a gun or a sword and then turn your back. Say, well, I'm going to test him. Well, yeah, I got to show where he's at, all right. But it might be the last thing you ever do. Now, Allah don't want us to be a fool. Okay? We got a brain. He gave us a brain. Let's don't... You know, that was the biggest mistake I think I made when I came into Islam. The biggest mistake of all is I parked my brain somewhere and just followed everybody along and said everything. Oh, I do that? Okay. And that too? Oh, gosh, you know. And this and that. And I must have looked like a real yo-yo. It cost me too. It cost a lot. Allah knows best. But... Alhamdulillah, I hope I don't make the same mistakes twice. I remember Aditha, the Prophet ﷺ, what he said. He said, a believer never gets bit at the same snake hole twice. May Allah make us of those believers, I mean. The second condition after the knowledge is yaqeen, and this means firm belief without doubt in what you're talking about. There's, in your heart, there's no doubt about La ilaha illallah. No doubt. Allah says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَبُوا وَجَحَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَإِكَ هُمَ السَّارِكُونَ. The plus or minus translation, it said, this is in Surah Al-Hujurat, and I love this surah, by the way. The truth are only those who believe in Allah and His Messenger and afterward do not doubt, but they strive with their wealth and their lives for the cause of Allah. Such, these are truthful. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no one meets Allah with the testimony of La ilaha illallah Muhammad al-Rasulullah and has no doubt in the statement. La rayba fi. No doubt in the statement, except that he will enter the Jannah. So once we get the knowledge or understanding of who is Allah and who is the Rasul, then the next thing is don't doubt it. Don't back up. Don't be running back to the Bible and say, well, there's some good stuff in there about Jesus. I really did like that. Don't need that. That was another mistake that I made. We should benefit also from our mistakes. We shouldn't do them again. And we can share a mistake with each other to the extent that it will benefit, but we don't mention our sins, if you know what I'm saying. I was reminded of when I was still a Christian preacher, and we used to get up on the platform and call the folks forward, especially after the end of the sermon, to accept, come forward and so on. And the people would get up and they would say, you know, I used to be a terrible sinner and I used to do X. Somebody else said, I used to do Y. And somebody else did Z. And it was so good he went back and did it again. And, you know, and that lady and me over there, we don't do that in Islam. You know, whatever Allah has concealed, we don't need to reveal. But when I mention something like this, it's not exactly the same. It's not a sin, it's a mistake. I spent 2.5 more years after coming into Islam still studying the Bible in the Greek, the Hebrew, and trying to put it together with the Dead Sea Scrolls, trying to find out how I could reconcile some of the things I found in the Quran, and trying to learn to compare the two together, until one day one of my dear friends, happened to be from Saudi Arabia, he asked me, he said, have you ever thought how much reward you'd had with Allah if you'd have spent all that time studying the Quran in the Arabic language? And I looked up, and I've got books on Hebrew, easy ways to learn Hebrew and Greek. So alhamdulillah, at least at one point I woke up and said, okay, stop, and let's move forward. The scholars have said that the diseases of the heart, or doubts and suspicions about Islam, are more dangerous to us, to our faith, than lusts and desires. And the reason they said that is because lusts and desires could eventually be satisfied. You could eventually stop. You could eventually turn away from it. You could eventually stop doing it, and you could eventually repent of it, and you could eventually be forgiven. But what about doubt? Doubt. How do you satisfy doubt? When you have doubts and suspicions and they stick in the heart, the only cure is going to be what? What will cure doubt? What? What will cure doubt? When a person said, I don't know. Suppose somebody came to your door. Meter man, let me in. Read the meter. Oh, wait a minute. I got a doubt. I don't know if that's the meter man. I want to open my door. After all, it is 4:30 in the morning. Open the door. Meter man. But I have a doubt. What would I do? What should I do? Common sense. You got a little peephole, don't you? You look. And you get what? Knowledge. You checked it out. You looked and saw. Oh, he does have on a uniform. Okay, but it's got long black stripes and white stripes on it. And a number across the front. Maybe that's not the meter man. You got any ID? Oh, now we want a proof. And he holds some kind of little badge up there, and you're looking at it with a phone number, and you call 1-800, I'm a crook, and they said, no, he's okay, let him in. So see what you did? You went and got good, substantiated knowledge, hopefully better than what I just said. But, you know, I like to use these little analogies for us to get the gravity of the importance of what we're talking about. Because if I just read a book to you, or say a few words to you, by the time you get to the parking lot, guess what? It's gone. It is gone. Maybe somebody will say, wow, Imam had some pretty good Arabiya. Or, alhamdulillah, good khutbah. Or, hey, that white guy was kind of funny. But if you didn't get any message out of it, if we didn't benefit it by this thing, then I didn't do what I set out to do. Because the khutbah is to bring us to the reality of something, and then admonish us to be steadfast in it. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who learn for the sake of learning, to apply and not to acquire knowledge to hit somebody over the head with it. Ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who learn and understand the kalima la ilaha illallah and live up to it. Ameen. And may Allah make the kalima la ilaha illallah a mufta, a key for us to enter His Jannah. Ameen. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulullah. Fa inna istaqal hadithi kitabullah wa khayru hadiya hadiya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa shuru umuri muhtasatuhah wa kulli muhtasatin bidah wa kulli bidatin dalala wa kulli dalalatin finnar. About for sure, the best words are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran. And the best following is to follow Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the worst of all deeds are the innovations and novelties which have been instrumented into the deen of al-Islam. And all of those innovations are astray going, and all of those astray goings are misguidance, and all misguidance is into the fire of hell. May Allah save us from that. Amen. We were talking about the subject of seeking knowledge. I gave a little bit of a humorous, I hope, analogy of somebody coming to your door, and it was very obvious from what I said that this person was not on the level. Even with his so-called credentials, they were false. The 800 number wasn't real. His outfit was sure. This was an escapee from a local institution, according to the story, and anybody with common sense should recognize that and turn the person away. So we need to seek true knowledge from what source? Can I take the word of a person who really looks nice? I mean, this guy has got, he's got a nice suit on, a three-piece suit. You know, he's got a briefcase over here. And he's got some words. Man, I never even heard words like this. But some high-dollar words. And coming in here and he's telling me all this stuff. Can I just take it based on his appearance? No. No. And even if he brings credentials, I should check them out. Isn't that true? So we as Muslims also have the obligation, before we accept anything, to test it with our brain. One of the things I like to speak on as a topic, actually, is the strangeness of Islam. And today I'll only speak on one little small part of the strangeness. But all other religions, you know, they have things that they say or do. But when it comes to Islam, we're strange. We say things that they would never say. One of the first things that we say as a Muslim is, check the source. What's your dalil? Where'd you get that from? Prove it. The other religions would never challenge you that way. If I were to go to some other religion and say, what do you have in your religion? Which is the litmus test. What do you have to offer me to challenge me to try to show your religion is wrong? Do you have anything? Anything. They don't have anything. We as Muslims have many challenges for those who care to spend the time and sincerely look. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenges them right in the Quran. If you're in doubt of this book, bring one like it. For 1421 years, the Coptic Christians and others who hate Islam have tried and tried and tried. If you go to the internet right now, they have three different so-called made-up surahs that they have, and you can go read them. And they're a joke. Anybody that even knows first-year Arabic goes, huh? What are you talking about? That doesn't even work. Especially to be a book of Revelation, there's no meaning in it, and there's no depth behind it. SubhanAllah. And imagine, today with computers, they're trying their best. Well, we'll just try another way, another way, another way. By the way, one of the things that we're fighting against with them now is there's a group of them operating in different parts of the world who are telling people they used to be Muslims, used to memorize Quran and found the Holy Bible, and it was such a spiritual uplift that they saw the truth of Jesus and left Islam and became Christians. I call it Christian sanity, because it's not even Christianity. You know, it's bad enough, you know, to say God is three and he's got a son and that he has to beat up his son because he wants to forgive you. Beat up? What am I talking about? Kill him. But then turn around and lie about it on top of that and say you used to be this religion to try to get people out of it. Now what you got to work with? But alhamdulillah, look what we challenge people. Bring a book like it. Bring 10 surahs like it. Bring 10 ayahs like it. And you can't. And you can't. Even some misguided Muslims who tried to corrupt just a little bit were caught immediately. I remember one publication that had 115 surahs in it. Naturally, you can catch it by the count. But it was called the Surah of Ali, and it said, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu Ali. Now, if you know Arabic, that doesn't work. You go, huh? If I believe, you don't have to tell me to believe, and you tell me to believe in Ali as what? So, alhamdulillah, Allah guide us. I wanted to go on with this because certainly this isn't today to be a full lesson in what the Shahada is, but just some of the understanding. And then you can ask your imam to elaborate on this, because he deals in this all the time. This is what imams do. So, and it's a good subject. And perhaps you're already working on it here in your area, and if you are, that's good. If not, it's a good thing to start up with. The final point on the certainty, and this is very important. If anything or anybody makes you feel like you doubt the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, get away from it. Allah does not need you to defend him or his book or his deen or his prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you got somebody bugging you with Jehovah's Witness or falling out of some other tree like those bicycle riders, Mormons, whatever coming at you, just, and they say something and you feel like, oh, just get away from them. It's not your job. It's not. Go to the imam. Talk to the imam, and he'll explain, and that's your way to do it. Don't call up other people who are in the same boat as you, because you make them doubt. Uh-oh. Hey, a guy came by today, you know what he said? He said, Prophet Muhammad said, I made a mistake, and he... Don't do that, because you're working for Shaitan. Don't do that. Go to the imam, talk to the imam, and he'll get you right. Now, if you don't read the Quran every single day in the Arabic language, then it would be a lot easier to throw you off the game than it will be somebody that knows Arabic, studies Arabic, and reads it every day, every day, every day. If he's reading 1/30th of the Quran every day, every month he's completed the Quran. And this man, when you go up and try to pull something on him, he's going to go, are you joking? Look what Allah said here, 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 and here, and here, and here. And by the way, let's throw in about 150,000 hadith on top of that. But boom. Okay, they'll back off. But see, what they take advantage of the fact that today, and this is fulfillment of hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. He said in the last days we would be everywhere. He also said that knowledge would be nowhere, and that's where we are. He also said that knowledge, true knowledge, will be looked on as ignorance, and ignorance will be looked on as knowledge. And people sure put a lot of value on certain kinds of knowledge, get a degree in basket weaving, or get a degree in crocheting, or a degree in running around the block. But if somebody said, guess what, my son is going to be a muhaddith, they're going to say, what? My son is going to be a professional person of memorizing Quran. What? Oh man, too bad. Too bad he's not going to be a doctor or something good. And that happens all over the world. So when I say that we need to stay away from things that make us doubt, go to the sources of knowledge and firm up your belief. It's very important for all of us to learn that lesson. Stay away from relatives who make you doubt. Now, don't stay away from your relatives in general, but if they make you doubt, don't get on those subjects with them. Stay away from your friends that make you doubt like that. And stay away from Muslims who make you doubt. Go to the imam and talk to him. Now, if a man makes you doubt, now take him over to someone and get some education. But alhamdulillah, in this particular place where we are today, this is not a problem, inshallah. Alhamdulillah. So, I mentioned two very important points, which is the knowledge and the lack of doubt, or the firmness of belief, yaqeen. I will just now taste a little bit, free sample of these other points, and let you think about them and elaborate them on at another day. Interpret them to mean something else and put a comma where it doesn't belong. For instance, when Allah is speaking in Surah Al-Imran in verse 7 about that there are verses in the Quran that nobody knows the meaning of except Allah, period, capital A, and those of knowledge say, we believe in it, all of it is from our Lord. So what they do is erase that period, put a comma, make a lowercase a, and in Arabic there's no punctuation and no capitalization, so they get away with it. And they say, nobody knows the meaning of those verses except Allah and those of knowledge. And they say, see how you do that? So we don't need people to play with us. Again, go back to the imam, go back to the scholars, and read it again. So we accept all of it. We don't try to reinterpret hadith or deny hadith. Now this is very, very important. A lot of people say, well, we accept Quran, but we don't take hadith. Again, we need more knowledge, because a person who has studied how the science of hadith came, they know that the detective work at Scotland Yard today is based on how hadith were collected to verify facts. There's a thing on the computer, on the internet now, called eBay. You heard about eBay, where you can do that auction thing? If you know anything about it, the way that those people are making their bids and accepted is by their authenticity, and that authenticity is checked the exact same way they check authenticity for hadith. If you don't know what I'm talking about, don't worry about it. Don't go on there and go auction. Go study the hadith. That's a more important subject. So this is very important, to accept it as the people of that time understood it and accepted it. Because Islam is for all times. Allah said in the Quran, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Dinakum. On this day I perfected your religion for you, conferred my favor upon you, na'ma, and chose for you the submission to me in al-Islam. Allah also said, In the Dina Indalahi Islam. For sure the only religion accepted to Allah is Islam. Why, man yabtaghi ghayra al-Islam ad-deen, and anybody who wants other than, ghayra means other than, you say that all the time, ghayra al-maghdubi alayhim wa al-dallin, ghayra, other than Islam, it'll never be accepted. And in the akhirah, in the hereafter, they'll be amongst the khasirin, the losers. That's in Surah Al-Imran, chapter 3, verse 85. So let's look now at the other points real quick. Four is submission and compliance. Okay, we said it, we believe in it, we accept it. Guess what? Now we got to do it. Five is truthfulness. Truthfulness. You say, what's that got to do with it? We have to be honest, really, really truthful. So when we make a mistake, we turn back to Allah and ask His forgiveness. And we don't try to jazz up the religion to fit. The sisters know more about this subject, really, than we do. Because the first time I ever heard it, I used to take my children to Sister Claire Muhammad School in Dallas. And I loved it, because kids really got something different, because they had been going to church school, and they come over there, they got something totally different. But they also got good education about being a lady. Because the sisters told them real quick, there's a difference between Islam and Hislam. So, alhamdulillah, don't laugh, it's good, but it got me so much, I never forgot that. And I said, you're right. So sometimes we as men, we try to interpret that to be, you got to do this, and you got to do that, and so and so. Islam said so. She said, where? Don't worry about it. So we got to be truthful. Truthful all the way around. And speaking of truth, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked a question about truth, because he talked about the service. He said, if anybody lies, that it puts a black spot on their heart, and if they continue, it will blacken their whole heart. And this is very dangerous. But he was asked one time, could a believer drink alcohol? He said, yeah, it could happen. He said, could he commit zina, illegal sex? He said, it could happen. I said, could he kill somebody? He said, it could happen. I said, could he lie? He said, no way. Can't lie. Because when you're lying, you're not a believer. If he dies in that state of lying, he dies as a, whoops, not believer. I don't want to be in that state. May Allah save us on me. Sincerity. Now, Allah uses the term mukhlis, or the person who has ikhlas. If a person has ikhlas, sincerity, he does it for the, what? Real reason. He's dedicated to do this. Next is love. He loves Allah, and he loves his messenger. He loves this deen. He loves the Quran. He loves his brother Muslims. He loves his imam. He loves the masjid. He loves all that goes along with being a Muslim. And he loves Islam, he loves Allah and his messenger more than anything else. And he lives for the sake of Allah and the messenger. Not to make bucks, not to own a business, not to get a fancy car, not to own a new computer, not to check his email. He lives for Allah because he loves Allah and he loves his messenger. This is very important. Number 8 is to deny any other object of worship. There is a denial in Islam that begins what we say. We don't say, I believe in Allah. We say, no. That's the first word in the kalima, yes or no. Say, la. What is la? It means no. You go in any Arab home, and when they have little children running around, you're going to hear that word all the time. La, 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 la. You hear it all the time. But here we're hearing it in our statement of faith. La. What do you believe? No. What do you mean? You're going to start with the word no? Yes. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha. I don't believe in any God. La. Illa. La. Except Allah. So I negate first. Let's get the negative out of the way so I can go to the positive. And the negative is what? Anything other than Allah, I ain't going to worship it. If you can see it, taste it, touch it, feel it, smell it, conceive it in your mind, that ain't Allah. Ta-da. So, what else is there? Allah. Put all that away? Allah. Who do you worship? Allah. They brought a lady one time, young, you know, she was kind of, had some problems, she was a slave lady, and he wanted to know about, could I marry her? He said, well, because you had to marry a believer, you know. He said, well, let's ask her. I said, where is Allah? She went like that. She believe in Allah? Yeah. Where is he? She went like that. He said, as a believer, free her. Just like that. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who deny the falsehood and accept the truth. Ameen. The last point is what Allah said in the Quran, and do not accept as Muslim. Final analysis, doesn't matter what you did through this whole life. At that point of death, you still have to die as a Muslim. Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahmatullahi alayhi, when he was in the state of death, he was one of the great teachers of Islam. He had his students around him at the time, and he was dying. And they were saying, as we should all say to when a person's dying, Ya Sheikh, sir, say la ilaha illallah. Ya Sheikh, qul la ilaha illallah. He said, laysa ba'd. Not yet. And they went, what? Not yet. Laysa ba'd. Then he died, or so they thought. And they freaked. But then he kind of moved around, stirred a little bit, and they said, sir, sir, we told you to say la 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 la. And you said, not yet. He said, I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. I was hearing the shaitan. There's a shaitan attached to every one of us since birth. And that shaitan was telling him, oh, Abu Abdullah, that was his kunya, you're out of my reach. You're out of my reach. I can't mess with you anymore. He said, not yet. Not yet. And then he said, La ilaha illallah, and he died. May Allah make us of those who live on La ilaha illallah, stand on La ilaha illallah, and die on La ilaha illallah. Another strange thing about our religion is we're not so worried about how we live as much as we are how we die. Because we really believe in that life after this life. May Allah make all of us of those who are the true believers that have the proper ridges on the mufta, the key to get into His paradise. Ameen. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار آمين. اللهم إني ظلمت نفسي ظلما كثيرا ولا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت فاغفر لي مغفرة من عندك وارحمني إنك أنت الغفور الرحيم. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. آمين. إن الحمد لله رب العالمين. إقام الصلاة.